In the beginning, there was a creation of a small plastic case. In this case, there was an item called a DVD. When the DVD was placed inside the machine, the first movie was being watched. This allowed the Extra Features podcast to begin.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Extra Features Movie Review Podcast. My name is Kevin.
And I am somewhat awake, Simon.
I'm fully tired, Daniel.
And this is episode 215.
Correct.
So if you like, don't forget to subscribe. We're on iTunes. Where else are we?
That's it. Just iTunes is fine.
Didn't you say you put it on YouTube?
I tried to. I got to work on it.
Oh, God.
It didn't quite work, so we're working on it.
We're not on SoundCloud or Stitcher or anything like that.
We do have stuff on SoundCloud. I took a break. Just too much stuff to do.
We can't figure out the cloud.
Just go to iTunes. iTunes. Or go to our website, www.extrafeatures.ca. It's all there.
There you go. And like, don't forget, we never discuss them, but you put up all sorts of shows in between where you interview up-and-coming filmmakers.
I do, and 20 Minutes with Chad is there, which will be a new episode this week.
And they're very enthusiastic that you do these interviews with them, filmmakers.
I know. I don't know why. And then just they like it. I can't answer those questions.
You like them, Simon.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's kick off this week with a major blockbuster that came out recently called Alita Battle Angel.
Alita.
Yes. Starring Rosa Salazar, Christoph Waltz. Jennifer Connelly, Mahershala Ali, Ed Skrein, Jackie Earle Haley. Jackie Earle Haley, yes. Keon Johnson and Jeff Fahey.
Jeff Fahey was in this?
He played the dog assassin guy, the one that really likes dogs.
Oh.
Like, oh, not my dogs.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't recognize him.
And then a surprise secret casting for the villain.
Oh, yeah. I was like, oh, you look familiar, bro. But, like, I was like, all right, yeah.
Yeah, until he took his glasses off, I'm like, he looks exactly like the cartoon character.
Okay.
And the glasses come off, and I'm like, oh, now I recognize it. It's,
you look like
it's that guy. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
But
you
which
look
one?
Like the Hulk.
It won't spoil.
Okay, so what'd you guys think, Kevin?
I enjoyed this film a lot, actually. I was not, I was a little wary of it. It wasn't on my radar from what I'd seen of the trailers. I thought, I don't think I'm going to care for this movie at all. The giant eyes kind of bothered me in the initial trailer, and I'm not a huge fan of anime stuff, so I'm not sure I was going to really care. But of course having James Cameron and Robert Rodriguez involved did, you know, make me want to see the project at some point. So some friends wanted to go see it on the, preview night at the IMAX theater, and, I loved it. I thought the effects were fantastic. I thought Alita was charming. I thought the animation, I think part of it too was that they had a physical actress there doing all of the scenes. And so the other actors were emoting to her. And then they did she wore like a special suit that, allowed them to position the eyes correctly, and the facial features and everything. And so I'm not sure I'm crazy about the world of Alita where everybody's dismembered and replacing their body parts with robot parts. But, it's the world of that area of the story, so I guess it fits. And there were some disturbing elements about there's a guy who gets his head cut off, and they save him by giving blood transfusions to keep his head alive until it can get grafted to a robot body. Things that don't really make sense, but I thought the acting was fantastic. Christoph Waltz, of course, is always good. Jennifer Connelly was a surprise. Mahershala Ali is pretty much the villain character from the cartoon to, like, even, you know, every, the look of him and the sound of him. It's definitely not his Green Book performance. This is very by the numbers villain. I thought some of the sequences were amazing. All the stuff in the battle arena were amazing. And so I give it a solid like 8 or 9 out of 10.
Wow! Holy crap! I almost threw up.
Yeah.
Wow. I have to agree with a lot of what you said. I thought Christoph Waltz's casting was phenomenal. He was such over actor normally. It was perfect. Absolutely perfect in the science room. I liked the casting a lot. I thought they really filled in the roles correctly. Mm-hmm. I was really blown away by the world. I thought the world looked real to me. Mm-hmm. And I quite liked that. I had a little bit of a problem with her boyfriend, Alita's.
Yeah.
I thought he was a little cookie cutter for me, a little basic. He kind of knew something was going to happen there.
Yeah, I didn't like him very much.
Sorry about that. And I felt Jennifer Connelly did fine. I wish she had more to do, but I don't think you really could have given more to do. I liked the Marshall. He just wasn't evil enough for me. He was bad. He was doing this. But just, again, I need a little bit more depth there. But the thing that overpowers me in this world is the look of the film was perfect. Not seeing the cartoon, not really knowing anything about this. I quite enjoyed it all. I liked the flashback scenes. I thought were well edited in. I thought her learning the world at the same time I was learning the world made sense to me.
Yeah.
And I quite liked it. I gave it a solid 6, which is probably for me, it's pretty good. So I enjoyed it. I liked the costuming. I really want a sequel.
I really liked it. I liked a lot of it. I feel like I've been seeing this trailer since like September, so I'm glad that it finally came out. It was adapted from like 2 different magnas, whatever, from the books. So like the roller derby and like the whole assassin story was different, and it made it feel like it's 2 completely different movies, and that made me feel like it would never end. But by the end, when she just points the sword at, the guy, I was like, okay, like, yeah, I'm done with this for now. But, like, I love the visuals of it. I love Delita. Rosa Salazar is great. And, like, that scene when she's in the bar trying to get everyone rounded up, and then the new and improved guy, but, like, played by Jackie O'Haley, I think, comes in, and like I was like, wow, I'm watching a vet movie in February. Like, I got chills there. Like, that was awesome. The visuals are great. Alita looked great, but like the villains were off-putting, because like with the random human face on the robot bodies, like at screen, it just looks so weird. Yeah, the roller derby scenes were great, but it just felt like 2 different movies, and that was kind of jarring. I liked a lot of it. I liked the visuals. The world building was great. Like, I want to go back to this world, but, like, it felt like they could have done it in one movie, I guess.
No, I don't think so. I think they gave us so much exposition in the beginning that I wouldn't want to see one movie.
I mean, I'd rather have, like, that whole story with going up there and then maybe just roller derby the second one.
I feel you could pull out the roller derby parts. I agree with you on that. But I did enjoy them, though. I thought they were really cool.
I love the roller derby parts. Those are my favorite parts. But it just feels like it doesn't feel completely coherent at times.
There's a point where maybe when the boyfriend falls, that the film could have ended around then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then she could just say, I vow to avenge you, and I'm going to defeat the villains in the arena. And then that could have opened up the second film.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
But we had to get that reveal of who the villain is, which doesn't really matter from a story point of view. It, like, the big surprise is the actor who's playing him. So I don't really think that's a huge surprise from a story perspective. We know that there's a character who's this villain who can inhabit people's bodies and stuff like that, download like AI.
But
actually, the most jarring thing for me was that Ali cut up Jennifer Connelly and put her brain and eyes and stuff in a box to go up to the...
Yep.
That was the most disturbing thing I thought of the whole movie.
Technically, they get back up there, but not mom.
Oh, that's horrific.
Yeah, I thought it was weird that he was just a puppet, like Ali, so I thought that's, like... I guess that's the same way they do it in the other speech, but they're adapting.
It's kind of like he's kind of like a drug dealer.
Yeah. You know,
he's like a mid-level, like he's a low-level boss. And in a lot of anime and video games and manga, there's bosses. So you have to defeat this level boss to go to defeat the next level boss.
Okay. Oh, okay.
So he is this level boss. And so now that he's been taken out, we have to find out who the next level boss is.
Yeah, I was more interested with, like, the secondary villains, like, the muscle, more so than him. I just didn't really like the characters that much, besides Alita, Christoph Waltz.
Well, I liked the muscle. I liked that crazy guy that kept upping himself, adding more stuff. And adding
I liked him. I just think he was, like, Ali's character.
I liked the bar scene a lot.
What?
The bar scene?
Oh, yeah.
That's the part I got chills at, yeah.
When he kills the dog.
Yeah, which was like, and then the blood. It's like, I don't know, Pete. I might have a problem with this. I have a bit of a problem.
So apparently, in the anime cartoon and in the graphic novel, it's a little bit more. There's a lot more visually to the killing of the dog, which is why she puts the blood on its face, on her face.
Okay.
My one friend was like, when I was, you know, 15, and I saw that was the most disturbing thing I'd ever seen. Because in the cartoon, that they would kill a little dog like that so randomly.
It's like
people are being dismembered, and you find the killing of a dog most disturbing.
Is this Battle Angel in subtitles, or is it English dubbed?
So there's an English dubbed cartoon. You can watch a few of the episodes that are on YouTube, and they're very, very similar, even in the way the shots are set up, to the way this movie plays out. So I was very surprised. That whole sequence where she's down fighting the giant cyborg in the underground.
Yeah.
It's almost shot for shot from the way things are in that anime. She looks a lot smaller with that original body. It's like the original body is like a little girl's body, while the later one is more like an adult size. So okay. She has this big head and this little girl's body, even though she's supposed to be 13 or something like that. Anyway, number one.
So are you suggesting I watch the cartoons, or people should watch the cartoons then?
No.
Okay.
I don't think it's necessary.
Okay.
I think if you really care about it and you want to read the manga, that's fine. It's pronounced manga, by the way.
Manga. Okay, my bad. I was trying to avoid the word because I was like, I don't know if it's Magna. I don't know if it's Magna. I'm a normie.
Magna might be something that comes out of, that's magma I'm thinking of.
Magma. Liquid magma. Okay.
Magna is Latin for something.
So I did like the world ball scenes a lot. That, like, it just felt like that racing scene in Spike is 3D, but Robert Rodriguez was able to, like, do it for, like, a whole 30 minutes of it. Of a movie? Yeah, sorry. Should we move on?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, okay. Let's do Serenity.
Kevin is out for Serenity.
2019, so not the Firefly one, Matthew McConaughey, Anne Hathaway, Diane Lane, Digimon Hunsu, I hope it's Digimon, Jason Clarke, Jeremy Strong for exposition, and that's all I see right now.
Good enough. You want to start, Dan? I know you're dying to.
Okay, we have to talk about the twist, right?
Okay. Yes, you have to talk about all of it. You can't really leave this out.
Like, the movie doesn't get good until they show the twist, and like they're like, oh. Like, we're on the joke. This is, you're just making a bad movie. Okay. Because basically Matthew McConaughey and all these other characters are on this island, which is the kid's street name. I forget what it is already. And basically nothing makes sense. he tells like Digimon, like he's the fisherman, and he's just basically Moby Dick. He's just obsessed with catching the big tuna. And he tells Hunsu that, like, oh, you're bad luck because your wife died. And then, do you know that the tryst is, Kevin?
He hasn't seen the film, so how would you know the tryst is?
All right, well, I'll try to paint this story quickly. But basically, he's just obsessed with catching this tuna. And then Anne Hathaway comes with Jason Clarke, who abuses her. And she's like, hey, man, you want to kill my husband? He's like, I don't know. You're an old flame of mine, but I don't know.
It's his ex-wife.
Yeah. Oh, ex-wife, yeah. And then basically the whole movie is this video game that his son created.
Okay. I'll break this, Kevin, the film makes no sense at all. You start off, it's Matthew McConaughey doing fishing tours.
Uh-huh.
You're like, okay, there's really no point to this. And then he's going to try to catch the big tuna. He can't catch the big tuna, so he goes drinking. He needs money, so he goes to have sex with Diane Lane, which you're like, okay. Doesn't really add to the plot in any way. It's just there.
Uh-huh.
And this happens a couple times. I'm like, okay, so he's a pimp, a hooker, whatever. I got it. I'm gigolo. Fine. Then halfway through the movie, Anne Hathaway shows up and goes, hey, I want you to kill my husband. He's like, I don't know. Not really my thing. And she's like, I'll pay a lot of money. He's like, I don't really want to. I want to do it. So next scene shows up. She shows up really beaten up. And he goes, okay, I'll do it. And they bring him out in the boat. They get him really drunk and basically kill him.
Yeah, after a couple times, yeah.
Then it flash forward. Then you go from there to a scene with a guy playing video games in his room, his son, and you find out his son made up this video game.
They're all Sims.
They're all Sims. It's all a made-up thing in the kids' head.
What?
Yes.
It's all a simulation.
The whole simulation, and you find out Matthew McConaughey died. So his dad died in the war, so he doesn't really exist. You're like, what the hell? And this makes no sense. That's the whole film.
And he just wants to see his dead father and his mom have sex.
And they have, like, a really good sex scene in the film. I'm kind of like, and you see the kid playing with his joystick. Am I supposed to be balanced or not? Weird stuff.
Like, the guy in the suit that you see in the trailers, he's all exposition. He's like, oh, you're, like, where's the creator? It tries to be like a Truman Show and all, like, his literary, like, influences.
Yeah,
like Moby
the
Dick.
Guy that's trying to sell him the fish finder? Like, what was that about?
I don't know. It felt like that was the Great Gatsby with the green light.
I did not understand that guy at all. Because, I mean, I thought that's where the plot was going.
But then he comes back for more exposition to make sure you understand the story. Like, do you know who the creator is? Do you know?
This makes no sense, Kevin. Like, absolutely zero sense to me. I'm like, what did I just watch?
He's basically compartmentalizing. So because Matthew McConaughey has the courage, like simulated Matthew McConaughey has the courage to kill his father, he has the courage to go and kill his father to stop Jason Clarke from abusing his mom.
Yes.
And
that's really the film.
And I realized, like, a couple hours later, Jesus, actually, this is kind of tragic, but the way it plays out is hilarious.
It just
like,
makes
this
no
is supposed
sense.
To be sad. Yeah. Like, but the movie doesn't actually get kind of so bad it's good until they, like, tell you, they let you in the joke that this is just a bad movie, and they're making a bad movie. Because, like, the first hour, the dialogue just makes zero sense.
How much money did they offer McConaughey to do this?
I don't know how they got anyone to do this, to be honest. Because these are a lot of...
Anne Hathaway's kind of just like doing what she wants. I would call Anne Hathaway's maybe a name, but she never does anything big, I guess is what I'm trying to say. She tries to keep them very low, her projects.
Ocean's 8 is pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah, but I know Ocean's
8. But she's not a star in Ocean's 8. Like, they have 8 people they're paying. So she doesn't get a big... But I find Anne Hathaway picks a very weird choice. McConaughey, man, what happened to the McConaughey? I guess it's over after this?
He just wanted to let out his inner Nicolas Cage. Now it's the McConaughey rage.
Yeah. Like, that's exactly what I feel about this. This is a piece of crap.
It is a piece of shit, yeah.
Speaking of pieces of crap, let's talk about Cold Pursuit.
One sec. Okay, starring Liam Neeson, Laura Dern for a hot minute, Michael Eklund, Tom Bateman, Emmy Rossum was in it. A bunch of other people. I don't know.
Who cares? There's a reason why you don't know them. Okay, Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
Just on a personal note.
William Forsythe.
Are you ever going to see another Liam Neeson film? Like, they're getting terrible now.
They're all the same.
This is worse.
It's all pretty much the same thing.
They're getting worse now.
I watched The Commuter, but that was, again, the same thing. It was like the same guy from Taken thrown on a subway train.
This is the same guy, but now he's a snowplow operator. He drives a snowplow.
Okay. But the commuter is nonstop on a train.
Yes.
Like, I think this has different lengths.
So he's a snowplow guy. I don't know why I'm thinking he's Zamboni, but it's a snowplow.
Yeah.
He cleans people's driveways.
No.
In Colorado.
No. So
he has to clear, like, a highway.
Yeah, constantly.
For people to go to work.
Constantly.
Yeah.
This place doesn't stop snowing. He does it all day, all night.
So it's busy.
He's very busy. And he has time to kill people in between.
Yeah, his son gets killed in, like, a drug deal gone wrong because one of his colleagues wants drugs and he can't pay for it, and then he gets killed. And then Liam Neeson says, like, oh, my, but David Kyle wasn't a druggie. And then he learns that he was killed this way, and then he inadvertently starts, like, a turf war between this crime family and a bunch of Native Americans.
Yes, on correct. The land.
And, the villain was kind of weird. He just didn't let his kid have fun.
Yeah, he's a bit of a dick.
Yeah, and he was, like, very high maintenance. But I enjoyed the Simon. I liked it a lot more than Polar.
Oh, don't disagree. Polar was amazing.
No, I don't like a lot of Polar.
Love Polar.
But, yeah, actually, I liked a lot of this. I feel like there's a lot of Fargo in there.
Attempts at Fargo, sure. Without the writing, sure, I'll give it to you. It was Pig Face in the Snow, sure.
Emmy Rossum was good. I thought it was funny. It had some Cohen humor there.
I think Emily Rossum should have been the villain. It would have been much better.
Should have been the what?
The villain.
She should have been the villain?
Yeah, flip roles. She's
like
a better actress.
Like instead of Tom Bateman?
Tom Bateman was terrible.
Yeah.
But I Emily Rossum can act. I want a movie, like, when I watch this, I want to be entertained. I want good kills. Like, Polar didn't take itself seriously. She's just American to Polar.
I thought it was funny, like, every time they killed someone, like, just the little gravestone would show up.
They didn't show me the kill. You hear a gunshot, but you don't see any blood or anything. I'm like, what is this, PG-13 action?
Like, at the end, there's like 30 of them. That was funny.
It's so dumb.
I thought a lot of it was funny. I thought the one joke, like, when the woman was like, get the Indian to do it, I thought that was funny.
I guess you're seeing things in here I did not see. I mean, I can't recommend this film to anybody. I think it's just dumb. If you need something to watch while you're back in your house, perfect.
Or when you snowplow? I liked it a lot.
No, when you're snowplowing outside, just put it on your big projector on your car and just put it on projector on your car and watch it. Like,
yeah.
I just think another bad Liam Neeson film. It's over for him.
I thought this had depth.
What depth?
I don't know. The depth in the snow, I guess.
There is no depth in this film. There is no depth at all, buddy.
When I saw it, it was good.
When you saw it, you just said it had depth. Explain to me the depth.
The snow foot was about a foot deep.
And I saw it a month ago.
I don't care. So there's no depth. I'm right. You're wrong. Move it on. Escape Room.
It's not about who's right or wrong. It's a good. I thought it was a good movie.
That's fine. You're more than welcome to think it's a good movie. I think you're wrong.
I thought it had more depth than Nonstop.
Yes, it does.
And a lot of other Liam Neeson movies. So, and I just thought it was good.
Okay. Continuing on. Are we doing Escape Room or Solo?
Escape Room.
Okay.
One sec. Okay. Let me pull up the cast list. Taylor Russell. Logan Miller. Oh, my God. Jay Ellis. Tyler Levine. Deborah Ann Wall. And Nick Dodany.
Kevin will hate this movie. Oh, I'll start it. Kevin hasn't seen it, so I'll start it. Escape Room is pretty much like a poor man's Saw to me. It really was.
A poor man's Saw.
Like, it sets up rooms, they have to escape, and obviously they take people out as it goes. And that's really, I didn't find, like, it was basic to me. Like, Deborah Ann Woll keeps continuing to impress me how bad an actress she is. I thought the rest of the cast didn't really add much to the script. I thought the script was very basic. Show a room, escape the room, kill somebody off, next room. Do the same thing again.
I think we've seen different movies.
Well, okay, then explain to me what I missed.
I thought this is like their attempt at starting another franchise.
Well, for sure there'll be a sequel to this.
And the format works because they show their trauma. When they're developing the characters for each room, it's basically the character's trauma.
Yes.
And I thought that structure was really good. I thought that structure really worked for what they were doing. And I don't know, I loved it. It's a January movie, and I didn't really expect much of it. And I got, like, something like Final Destination, and I love that stuff.
I like the Final Destination movies more than I like this. This, I just thought the acting was boring. That's the problem. When they do these films, they have a cheap budget, and they get bad actors. Deborah Ann Woll's her only real name, I think, that I recognize.
No, Tyler the Bean, Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
Never seen it.
Oh my God, you haven't seen Tucker and Dale versus Evil?
No, I have not seen Tucker and Dale
versus Evil. Okay, we're going to make you watch Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
Can't wait.
I love Tyler the Bean. Deborah Ann Woll, I thought she had a really good character moment.
Yeah, but the one when she's in the, with the pool table?
Yeah.
I thought so. Yeah.
I thought that was really good. No, to me, I know. I really, really like this. Can I spoil?
Go ahead. Kevin doesn't care. He's not going to watch it.
I think Danny's the puzzle maker.
It could be, but they mean at the end of this film, Kevin. Go ahead.
I mean, I know that he dies, but you don't really see the body. And
that's true.
I think he is because I watched this twice. The second time at the beginning, I noticed that since he has the cell phone, he gets to keep the cell phone, and he doesn't really talk to the guy at the front. He just weasels it on the elevator, and he's like, "Yeah, man, let's do it." And then, I mean, if he says that he's the escape room enthusiast, buddy, if you've done 95 escape rooms, why aren't you offering a single clue on how to get out of it? I think he's like the scientist put there to give them the lay of the land, how to do this, and then when they kind of know, he fucks off into the ice.
That's possible. That makes sense. I would totally give you that.
Yeah. So like I don't know. I didn't expect to like it the end. Oh, there's like three endings.
Oh, I liked it when they said the scientists show up and said, "Don't worry, we'll get them."
Yeah. Like, we got this. Like, there's no way they survived this.
I kind of like that. I'm like, okay, so I'll accept that. I can do a sequel. I'll watch it. Better be better, though.
Okay.
I need a little bit. Storytelling is my biggest issue with these films. They need better. Cold Pursuit has bad storytelling. Serenity's storytelling makes no sense. And Escape Room storytelling's okay. Just the cookie-cutter characters to me. I know what's going to happen to them.
I mean, they could have been cookie-cutter characters, but I thought the way that they like made each room theirs and developed the character in that room, I thought that was intriguing for a movie like this. Okay. And I just didn't expect like a genre movie so much, so I think that's why I like it.
Okay, fair enough.
I appreciate your opinion on it.
All right, you can have your own.
Okay, this one we're on the same page on, Simon. Life Itself.
I thought we were doing Free Solo.
Wait.
No, at the end.
At the end? Okay. Free Solo. Life Itself? Oh. Kevin, please avoid this film at all costs.
Alright.
I heard it was one of the worst of the year.
Yeah, if I could put this 10 times on my worst of list, I would. Oscar Isaac, Olivia Wilde, Annette Bening, Manny Patinkin, I'm stupid, Gene Smart, Olivia Cook, Sergio Pérez Mancheta, Antonio Banderas, Leah Costa. Yeah. Okay. That's it.
Who wrote Dan Fogelman? No wonder I hate his other show, This Is Us.
This Is Us.
Oh, my God.
I haven't watched that.
My wife watches it. I can't make it through an episode. Can't. Tried twice. Cannot make it through an episode. Just not my kind of style of writing. Kevin, this movie infuriated me. It makes no sense. And it tries hard. And literally, Olivia Cooke at one point in her, it's three or four different sections, really, it's what broken out of. Olivia Cooke has to exposition drop to explain to me what's going on.
Yeah, like.
Literally dumps. I'm like, oh, I get it now. And then I have some random kid that shows up on a bus. I'm like, what? What's going on in this Mexican scene? And then, of course, it all wraps in by the end. And I'm like, I don't care by this point.
Simon, I crave a happy life, like a fat man craves chocolate, like a lost hiker craves rescue. From the beginning, I didn't know what tone this is going for, because it has Samuel Jackson as an unreliable narrator.
Yes.
And the psychologist gets hit by the bus, and he's like, oh, fuck it, I'm out, and yeah. It's just Oscar Isaac working on his screenplay.
Yes.
This is all levels of bad, but if you like Antonio Banderas coming in as a new character, no introduction at all.
Nope, just shows up.
And monologuing literally for 5.5 minutes about his story in Spanish.
Yes.
Which has no bearing on the plot whatsoever.
None. Zero. No idea why he was there until forever.
I was literally like, wait, why are you telling us your life story? You just got here. And then the guy he's selling it to, Javier, he says, I don't follow. And I'm like, buddy, same. And, yeah, so basically, yes, I'm sorry, don't watch this. But basically, I'll spoil it. Oscar Isaac, his wife gets, like, she's pregnant, like, Olivia Wilde, she gets hit by a bus. And then he shoots himself because he's like, I don't want to be in here anymore. Because, like, it plays out like she left him. And then his psychologist, Annette Bening, who's the worst one in the world, she's like, buddy, like, no, she's actually dead. And you're delusional. He's like, oh, no, I'm going to shoot myself now.
Yeah, just pulls her down and blows his brains out right in front of her. I'm like, what?
And then Olivia Cooke was a baby in Olivia Wilde, and she survived. And she's all melancholy, and like, and then her grandma dies when she's 6, and then her dog dies when she's 7, and then there's this whole emotionally manipulative thing about her being like, oh, like, I crave a happy life, but I'm afraid that the tragedy that follows me won't let me have that. And then it's like, what she really said was, are you gonna die, grandpa? I'm done with this movie already, but.
Oh. I couldn't stay awake. It took me two nights to get through it.
And then the Spanish, Spanish people with, like, Antonio Banderas and Javier, like, because there's this kid on the bus that sees it, and he's affected by it, and...
No, you missed it. The kid on the bus distracted Javier. The bus driver to kill Olivia Wilde. That's why she died, because not because she's an idiot, because she walked in front of a bus, because the bus driver was distracted and didn't see her.
Oh. Hi, little Mexican kid.
That's really what happened.
The Spanish kid?
The Spanish kid distracts the bus driver. So the bus driver hits Olivia Wilde.
And Antonio Banderas isn't even with even the little kid on the bus. But by the end of it, the little kid on the bus, he lives in, like, Andalusia or something. He comes back to New York City, and he marries Olivia Cooke.
No. He comes back because Antonio Banderas tells him about New York City. It's the only place he wants to go to.
Yeah, and because Antonio Banderas literally steals this kid's family.
Yeah, like, literally steals it.
Like, he's Mr. Steal Your Girl, and he, like, resells his way.
Well, he's trying to bang the guy's wife, I thought.
Yeah. And then the guy just lets him. He's like, oh, I'm not going to ask her if she actually loves this guy. I'm just going to leave.
Yeah, I'm just gone. See you later. And leaves. I'm like, what?
Yeah. So, and it tries, like, the film is really dark at times, but then it just tries to push it off with humor.
Yes.
And that doesn't work. And it's like, there's a lot of dad jokes. Like, hey, why does a baby need a jumper? It doesn't jump.
Oh, the jokes are terrible.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've gone on a bit of a tangent about this. I really, really hate it.
No, so do I. It would have made my top 10 worst list after seeing it.
Yeah, make it. I'm going to put it on 10 times next year.
Yeah, so am I. I'm just going to have a whole list in life itself.
No 2019 movie.
But I still hate it. I feel pretty more, so.
Yeah. The whole thing is, like, literary criticism that, like, just, like, yeah, her character, Olivia Wilde's character has a thesis that, like, all stories have unreliable narrators except for life itself.
But she failed. But she fails her thesis. Yeah. She couldn't prove it.
And Dan Fogelman just thinks he's really smart, and all of it is basically, haha, look how smart I am. This is meta. I'm trying to say something about life, but it makes no fucking sense. Even though there's a narrator to try to spoon feed it to you, it still doesn't make sense.
I'm with you 100%, Dan.
Yeah, all right.
This film has depth, though.
What?
This film does have depth.
It does.
But it makes no sense. No, I think Kevin should sit down and watch Serenity and then Life Itself right afterwards.
Oh, blow my mind.
And just get back to us.
But Serenity is so bad it's good at times.
No,
Life
it's not.
Life Itself is just plain bad.
They're both terrible. Kevin will be asleep after half an hour of Life Itself.
Serenity's a bad movie, but I think it's going to get cult liking.
Next time you have a cold, Kevin, you can't really fall asleep. Put on Life Itself. Out in 20 minutes.
20? Just skip to the Antonio Banderas monologue. And you'll be
not in Spanish for 20 minutes.
Yeah. Like, I literally went back and timed it, and it was a 5.5-minute dialogue of, hey, this is my life story of my dad who was an asshole and my mom who was abused, and now I'm rich.
Yeah, that's really it.
Like, Dan Fulkman, stop it. All right. Hellfest. One sec. Hellfest. Cynthia Mercado.
Yeah.
Okay, not really anyone. No, Amy Forsyth, Bex Taylor Klaus from the Scream TV show, Rainn Edwards, Christian James, Matt Mercurio. No one you know, really.
Yeah, the one chick from Dumplings in here, I recognized her. That was it.
Wait, which one?
The one that gets guillotined.
Oh, Tony. Oh, yeah, Bex Taylor Klaus. Yeah, from Scream. Yeah.
I recognized her, but that was it. Hellfest, your straight slasher pick, Kevin, which I love straight slasher films. I enjoyed this film. Is it good? Yeah. Nope. Is it done on the cheap? Yep. Did I like the idea? Yep. Is it add anything to the genre? Nope. Does it do anything different? Nope. Just straight teens, carve them up, move along. What am I missing, Dan?
Did I put this one on my worst list?
I think you did.
Yeah, so I think I might have meant to make you watch Bloodfest, so my bad. But I'm glad you liked it.
I'm only giving it a 3, but I like these kind of films. They're not good. I'm rating them what they are, but I like this kind of horror.
I love slashers. This one didn't really work for me, though, because it's basically, like, it's if the premise of, like, the beginning of Scream 2, like, where Jada Pinkett Smith is, like, hey, like, stands in front of the people and everyone thinks it's a joke and she gets killed.
Yes.
And this is basically that at a carnival and no one believes that they're actually in danger.
But there's no depth to the film. Like, we know nothing about these characters. Like, we don't know why they don't talk anymore, the two friends.
No, that's exactly my thing. Like, if you give me a slasher movie, at least try to develop a character, but they don't even try.
I don't know why this slasher's going around killing people. No idea. I think he likes it. But there's no reason for it.
He's a random teens.
He just picks Hellfest because he likes Hell. No problem. I like the cell phone thing. I thought that kind of worked, that they text and they figured it out. But again, these characters are no, I don't care about them. I don't remember their names. They're there to be killed. That's it.
No, they're really bad characters. They don't even try. And that's what offends me. Like, if you make a movie like this, like, give them a decent backstory other than, like, these two are best friends, and then everyone else is just there.
No, they're best friends, but we don't know what happened, why they haven't talked for months.
They haven't talked for a while, but you don't know.
We don't know what the issue is. We don't know, like, there's no reason why, and they keep talking about it, you know, that's her high school friend that she doesn't talk to. Why not?
No, I don't think there's a reason for it. I think it's just that she was her elementary school, like high school best friend, and then Bex and Taylor Klaus is now her college best friend. And I think that's it.
But it sounds like they talk still. I got that impression.
Yeah, they do, but they just, I guess they don't go to the same college, and she's just visiting, and she I think the one went away for college.
But they're hinting at things in there constantly, but nothing's given to me. And then the random guy falls in love with her, really? Thinks she's really cute? I'm like, okay. So that's, basically we use that plot to get rid of him.
You're cute. Do you want to smash?
Yeah, and then they get rid of him. Okay, first guy's dead, he gets the cell phone. Okay, I'll let that go, because now he can track them. Fine, yeah. I'll let that go. And then they keep, then what amusement park makes you take a ride to go to another section of the park? The only one I can think of is in Universal Florida, but when you have to go to the separate park, you have to take a train to the next park in Harry Potter Land to go to the other park at Islands of Adventure.
I thought that was the only effective scene that I was like, wait, like, this guy's the same mask. He's about to kill you. What? What? Like, and I thought, like, just the, I guess the fear of that, of the ride breaking down, and then, oh no, I'm dead. And then she's Gucci.
I guess they spent a lot of time designing the world. I thought the world looked nice.
Yeah, the carnival looked cool.
I thought the carnival was cool. I'm like, I would actually go to that. That looks kind of fun.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it, like, I think I wanted to like it more because, like, I like the idea that, like, all right, if you like haunted houses but aren't comfortable leaving your home, like, this is a haunted house horror movie.
Yes, and I think there'll be a sequel.
In the comfort of your own home. But there's a lot of potential here, and it would have been great if they actually bothered to develop any kind of two-dimensional character, even a one-dimensional one.
I think, there's going to be a sequel. I think they've set it up for a sequel. I like the end of the film. It's my favorite part. That had the most depth of the film is the end.
The killer going home.
The killer going home and talking to his kid, and you see him hanging up his mask, and he has a bunch of other masks hung up on Mike, and he's talking to his kid.
Yeah,
Michael, I'll let that go. I didn't think it was stupid. I kind of liked it.
I just didn't like this movie.
Okay, fair enough. But yeah. I enjoy it. I'd suggest watching it if you like slashers, but it's not going to give you much.
I mean, I think I gave it like a 38, or I would give it like a 4.
So I gave it a 3, so we're about the same.
Yeah, but like on our different scales. I think 4 makes me want to be like, I don't like this at all. And you're like, it's all right, it's all right.
I like slasher films. I mean, that's why I'm saying it's got a 3, but it's a terrible film. It's terrible storytelling. I like the end. I did enjoy the end.
Yeah, I really do enjoy slasher movies, but this just give me actual characters.
Well, I can't wait to get your opinion on Bikini Swamp Massacre when we get there.
Don't make us do that. Please, no. It's coming. All right.
Moving along to a good film.
Free Solo. Tommy Caldwell. Jimmy Chin. Alex Honnold. Sorry, that's the main guy. it's a documentary. The one that won the best documentary feature at the Academy Awards.
Mm-hmm. Shot in IMAX.
Oh, beautiful looking.
I wish I would have guessed shot in IMAX. I wish I would have came here.
I did see this one.
Did you see it in IMAX or just at home?
No, I just saw it at home.
Oh, okay.
I bought it on iTunes after it won the award.
Okay.
I loved it. I thought it was a fascinating portrait of an insane person.
You think he's insane?
I think there's something. I think they go to great lengths to explain that there's something different about him that makes him do this. And then, of course, everything's being changed for him because he's fallen in love, and the stakes are much higher over the course. So, yeah, I mean, basically, there are these guys. They're usually these loner guys that like to go out and climb mountains. So rock climbing is a skill that people are developing, but And they do it for fun. They go to these gyms and they do it. But there are these guys that just like to go out and free solo climb without ropes and nets and stuff like that, just using their hands and their whatever. And they certainly become famous doing it. But almost all of them end up dying at some point because it's you know the odds are against you surviving doing this multiple times in your lifetime. So maybe once or twice you get the high of doing it, but And some of these Daredevil guys, like one of them filmed, they actually filmed him dying, and they tried to do different things like wear parachutes and stuff like that. But you're falling off a cliff, so eventually you're going to hit a cliff on your way down. And so gravity is not your friend.
By the sounds, Tim McGraw at the end there.
Yes.
And the planning that they have to put into it, and they have to look at, they have to study the mountain, they have to look at every handhold, they map every square inch of that mountain to find the best way to climb it. And other people have tried it and reached certain points and said, okay, I can't go further.
Wait. But see, that guy that fell off the mountain, was he actually dying in that scene? Because I thought he
pulled his parachute. No, and that's, in that scene, he pulls his chute, but he did die.
Yeah.
That guy did die later on.
Yeah,
and there's no way they would show you the video footage of him.
No, falling. I was like, wait, like, is this a snuff film now? Did you
no,
like, wait.
But so as he's preparing to do this big thing, he talks about, oh, I can't get involved with people, you know, whatever. And he goes to see a neurologist. The neurologist says, well, yeah, there's something about your brain that's just like you don't get stimulation the same way other people do. Other people get stimulation from watching movies, reading books, doing things like that. You don't get that. You don't, you know, you're getting something out of it, but you're not, you know, you have to do crazy things where you get adrenaline rushes to really appreciate stuff. So I don't know. I thought it was fascinating. And then, of course, he meets somebody, and as they're dating, she's like, I don't want you to die, but I'm not going to tell you to stop doing something that you love.
Yeah.
And so that's the battle. And then, of course, the camera crew is fantastic because they're talking and they're saying, we don't want to watch him die. This is the big problem with this is we could be filming this and he could slip and fall to his death.
Yeah, and fall into frame.
And we're like an observer. We have no way to reach out and save him and help him if something bad happens.
Like, yeah.
You know, they're using drone cameras and stuff.
That's a great part about this. Like, one misstep, and this could be a biopic starring Lucas Haas instead.
Yeah.
Because he looks a lot like Lucas Haas to me.
He does.
Yeah. They kind of mentioned at one point that their nickname for him was Spock.
Oh, right,
because
yeah.
He Spock looks has like. Nerves. Yeah. That he looks a bit like Spock, and he has no emotion. You know, he's just completely. He's obsessed with doing this thing, but he has no. Like, he's fairly cold and distant.
Yeah. Like even when the girlfriend is like McCandles, that's a great name. Is like trying to be like, hey, is there ever a point where you might prioritize not free soloing? To maximize your lifespan. He's like, no, not a hesitation. Like, no, I need to do it. And there's no way, like, even taking her into the factor, he's still going to do it. Because I think he's the only one out of everyone that he's comfortable with the fact that, all right, he might just die. And even when he gets to the top, I'm like, I'm delighted.
Yeah.
Like, buddy, you just basically pitched a perfect game. You, like, how they put it at one point, like, it's gold medal, Olympic gold medal, or death.
Yeah.
I'm delighted.
Well, let's go back to my favorite scene, I know it's a weird scene, is when the camera crew, he does a karate kick over, and the camera crew just goes nuts.
Yeah.
He did it! Yeah! They're like, he's not going to die now. I'm like, what the hell? And I really think you guys are emphasizing the drone shots are amazing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, I have a 75-inch TV, and let me tell you, I was like, whoa. Like, I can't imagine what he's feeling climbing that.
My whole body was sweating.
Like, for him. And I know he succeeds.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, I saw him on the Oscars, so I know he doesn't die. But I'm just like, I don't know if I can watch this IMAX. I would have got sick, I think. And I have one minor quibble, and I want to know if you guys have the same quibble. I wanted to know more about the van, how it's set up, who designed the van, some more about the basic van.
Oh.
Because they spent no time there.
Oh, the van that he lives in.
Yes, I want to know more about that.
Mm-hmm.
I have so many questions for that.
Oh, okay.
Well, I don't know. It looked like it had a bunk and it had a little kitchen.
Yeah.
And,
but how? Where did he get the idea for? Who set it up? Why does he buy? Like, he discussed his food, saying, "I don't eat meat." Well, why do you eat that? What do you bring on your client? Do you use certain chalk? I have so many questions about this film coming out of it. I loved it, and I have a lot of questions that weren't answered.
Yeah. What? Like, you're. What if you have to go to the bathroom while you're climbing the?
Yeah.
Like, and what if? What if you're hungry? What if you're thirsty?
4 hours, right?
Yeah. And why didn't they interview that guy that was having a nap on the mountain?
Hmm.
Remember when Alex is climbing up and he goes over that guy in the tent?
The unicorn guy?
Yeah. What was he doing?
Sleeping? I don't know.
That's a whole conversation right there I wanted to have.
He rolls over, he's dead. I don't know.
And, I mean... I liked how they took him out of there and took us to the school.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was good. So we see what he's doing with his life besides climbing.
I think there was a point where he changes his mind and he goes back home.
Yeah.
And he says, and the guy he's talking to, he's been there the whole time. He says, well, I'm actually thinking it was probably a good thing that he tries to decide to go home because now he won't die.
Yeah.
It's just like, I'm happy that he decided not to do this suicidal thing.
Yeah, I mean, his ankle was still hurting. I think he was pushing it. And I think if he wouldn't have done that climb, he probably would have died.
Well, his ankle's hurting because his girlfriend doesn't know how to climb, and she screwed up. She even apologizes for that.
Well, that first time he broke the vertebrae and, like, or compressed fracture in his back. And then he sprained his ankle because he just fell 30 feet, but he didn't know what happened.
Yeah, just fall randomly fall. I think this film needs to be seen by all, is what I want to say.
Yeah. I don't watch a lot of documentaries. I think I've seen less than 10 in my life, but this is my favorite one. I've seen this.
I think this is just a phenomenal film that needs to be seen by all.
Yeah.
This would have been my top 3 if I had seen it before I did my top 10 list.
Thanks.
I loved it. Absolutely loved this film.
Yeah, it's up there, though.
Kevin, what do you think? Anything I'm missing?
No, I highly enjoyed this movie. I thought it was fascinating, and I couldn't stop. That's why, actually, when we were recording last time, I was almost done, so I asked us to wait 10 minutes so I could finish it.
Yes.
But I highly recommend that people see this. There's a reason why it won Best Documentary. It's very good. It also didn't have the competition of
Mr. Rogers.
Mr. Rogers documentary.
Oh, I would have picked this over Mr. Rogers, no problems.
I disagree with you there. I think the Mr. Rogers one was really good.
I did. I like this one better. It's more my kind of film, I guess.
Do you think they knew that this wouldn't win over Mr. Rogers? So that's where they're like, oh, we love Free Solo. That's not even nominated.
No, I think that someone... For some reason, someone disqualified Mr. Rogers, and I don't know why or what the reasoning was. Maybe somewhere where the money came from, or I don't know.
Russia.
Maybe. That's about collusion. It was a collusion movie.
Goddamn Putin. God damn it. Trying to make this wholesome movie about Mr. Rogers.
It was too SJW for the right wingers.
Yeah.
I don't know. I hate using that term. All right, well, our next film is another documentary, right?
Yeah, Fire. Yeah, no, but I love this. I love Free Solo. It's a great movie. Okay, so Fire. About the unraveling of the Fire Music Festival. Not really any stars except for Billy McFarlane, Ja Rule, and then that Andy King, the blowjob meme guy. Did you watch this, Kevin?
I did, yes.
Do you want to hit it off? Or?
Sure. I mean, part of my life is event planning and doing stuff like that. One of my jobs is all about putting together events that hopefully people will want to go to in some form. And so this was an interesting idea to have a music festival on an island in the Caribbean sell a trip package as part of this. It's not just going to a concert and then going home again. It's like what's that? Is it Burning Man, that thing in the desert where all these people go to?
Yeah.
Correct.
And it's a big deal. You go to Burning Man, there's a concert, there's like all sorts of drugs and sex and everything else. And that's attractive to a certain generation. So they were trying to build that. So they found this island that used to be Escobar's island. It has a landing strip and all that stuff. And they made a deal to do this, and they brought some models and Ja Rule out there, and they basically filmed them frisking around in the water and doing things like that for whatever, for a couple days. And then they used that to build a whole marketing campaign to sell a lifestyle event. And again, this comes down to our age of marketing, where it's all about selling you stuff. And a whole bunch of people said, couldn't wait to put their money down and sign up to go to this festival. And then artists were being announced without necessarily having agreed to do the show.
Well, that's what I thought was funny. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that's a problem that event planning, like even with what we do, we get commitments and we announce things and then stuff happens after the fact. So, and then it looks like we never had them, which to me is kind of strange because you can't announce a guest without having some confirmation. Like if they did that, then they're grossly negligent. I mean, it kind of shows that they didn't know what they're doing in that case, if they did. But I don't know. Like, to me, it seems very strange. Like, we had a situation recently where we announced the actress's agent said, go ahead and announce them. We announced them, and then people were all excited. And the agent said, or the actress said, I don't know anything about this. I'm not going to that. And then all these people said, you guys are liars. You don't have the person assigned to your guest list, all that stuff. And then eventually the agent came forward and said, no, this is my mistake. I had made the contract. I hadn't spoken to her. She had something else going on, so she couldn't do it. So I was under the impression that she could, but she can't. So, you know, don't blame the show. Blame me if you're going to blame somebody.
Okay.
So they kind of fell on the show. But often that doesn't happen. Often you're left with people just assuming that you lied all along. So that's, you can leave yourself to all sorts of lawsuits and things like that if that were the case. Like, no artist or guest will want to have their name announced with something for any period of time knowing that they weren't going. They would be out there actively suing or trying to prevent that from happening. Anyway, sir, that was a tangent.
No, perfect. Makes sense.
We know for sure Blink-182 was going to go, but then because they announced on Instagram or whatever, like, oh, no, we're not doing it on the day of.
Well, I think what happened was as they actually started doing the logistics and the planning, things started to fall apart because the island no longer became available. So they had to move it to somewhere else.
Yeah, because they said, like, don't announce that it's Pablo Escobar. And then the first commercial, hey, Pablo Escobar's island.
Yeah, these guys were high on something, or they're drunk, or they were really stupid, and they just went ahead and did stuff. And I have seen this too with newbie festivals, newbie conventions, and things like that. Is that this kind of stuff does happen, where you get too enthusiastic, and you say things you shouldn't, and you promise stuff that you shouldn't, and you promote stuff that isn't confirmed, And then there's also the finessing of language to lie, to make something sound more exciting than it is. And I know that that happens as well in the convention industry as well, and festival industry. There are ways to make something sound more enticing to someone than it actually is. Really, you know, it's like you're going to go to this place and you're going to watch a concert. But, you know, a lifestyle event, or you're going to drink a lot with your friends. It's like having bottle service to your place on the beach. And,
yeah.
You know, you're going to have your own private facility. Well, it's a tent.
Cheese sandwiches.
Yes.
But, I think, yeah, Billy McFarland McFarland just seems like, I'm half asleep still. Just seems like a master at, like, selling this.
He's a shyster.
So they're such a dick.
Yeah. Well, there are people like that who are completely deluded that find themselves at the head of things. And you need someone who is, you need someone at the head of someone who, of an event like this, who is, I wouldn't say necessarily a visionary, but someone who is so focused on making it happen that it's sometimes it's like sheer will to get things happen. And I've been in that position myself with certain things that I've done. Like, I don't know how it's going to happen in the end, but I know it's going to happen because I want it, I'm going to make it happen. You know, I'm going to, you know, when sometimes with planning the awards, it's like, I don't know where it's going to end up being presented. I don't know how it's going to end up doing, but I know that it's going to happen. So I'm not going to worry about the fine details. I'm going to just get it out there that it's happening, and then I'm going to work on the details as I go. And if it gets to the point where it cannot happen, then I will have to pull back and make that announcement.
But Kevin, has someone supported your vision so much that they've been willing to give a blowjob?
No. Well, I've never been into that position. Well, maybe they might have, but I don't know. It's like
I went home and showered, prepared to suck that guy's dick.
This was on a whole different scale than anything I've ever dealt with. Anything, I mean, what I'm dealing with is more like thousands of dollars as opposed to like hundreds of millions of dollars. And, okay. And you know, to me, that was like, this sounds like a cool idea. Let's do it. Let's figure it out as we go. And then as you figured out that it wasn't going to work, you just said, I don't care. It's going to happen no matter what. We're going to make it happen. So, but ultimately, what killed the Fyre Festival was is that everything was against it logistically.
Yeah.
Location, facilities, all that stuff. It ended up being compromise after compromise after compromise to the point where what was being delivered was like 2% of what was promised. And,
2% is generous, even.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there was a place, there was a stage.
A plane.
There was, and it wasn't the plane that they were told they were coming down on.
Oh, true.
All that stuff.
Not even the plane.
Yeah. You know, they got to the facility in a bus and they tried to stall them at a bar for a while. No, it was just, it was terrible. And you know what? This is why there are laws to protect us when people make false promises like this, and why credit card statement, like you can sue and you can get your money back. You can make claims and all that stuff. Like if ultimately what you're promised and what you paid for isn't delivered, but what is interesting is that the blowback from the comedy tours and so forth, it was like the people that signed up for this got what they deserved. That was the joke.
Yeah, because just their rich parents' money, basically.
Yeah, the idle rich, you know, got away with, you know, they should have known better. You know, or they have too much money than brains.
Ultimate, too good to be true. I thought the characters in this were fascinating though. Like the woman that couldn't pay the workers, and then I think there was a GoFundMe that helped her get all the money back.
She did get her money back,
which is really cool.
Yeah, like because she was in the position of having to feed all these people, so she'd ordered all this food, all this stuff, and then the money never came.
Yeah, and she never got paid. Yeah.
All those workers in the Bahamas who never got paid.
They have a GoFundMe, too. I don't know if they got paid, though, in the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and Billy keeps going with his scams. That's what I can't believe. He doesn't stop.
Yeah, and he's just like, this will be fine. And
well, because this is the only way a guy like this knows how to make money. So he just finds another front man, and then he goes ahead and so his name isn't on it. But he's still out there trying to do exactly the same thing. So, which is why he's had all of these restrictions put on him that he can't do anything associated.
Yeah.
And then just on to the next Ja Rule. Like, thank you, Ja Rule, next.
Yeah. Well, and Ja Rule was, he was suckered into it just as much as as everyone else.
Yeah, I agree.
McFarlane came in with money, and McFarlane had money initially.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
He had been very successful. I mean, what he had done with those parties in New York the exclusivity, all that stuff, he had had some measure of success with.
Yeah, with the credit card company? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not sure how legal it was, but he had found that facility in New York, and they had those private parties there. They have wine tastings and book readings and all that stuff. Like, this kind of stuff, I've seen and met people like Billy McFarland many times over the years. And I see it happening, too. I see there's a new convention in Texas where it's kind of like that. There's a guy who has a lot of money, he's throwing stuff around. He's claiming to be bigger than what he is, making a lot of hostile comments and stuff against other people.
Oh.
But essentially, he's got money, and he's putting on a show, and he's going to outdo everybody else and outbrag everybody else along the way. And will he get the tickets and the attendance? I don't know, but this is part of it. It's selling something.
And they're all just groom's car salesmen.
Okay, guys, wrap this up.
Like, used car salesman, yeah.
All right, what did you think, Simon?
I loved it. Watch it. We got to go. So you guys talked about it now. I'm glad you have it. Go. We're done. It's good. I said watch for a documentary.
Yeah.
I really liked it.
Yeah, I thought it was fascinating. Yeah.
All right, so they made it. We watched it.
And we're done. Goodbye.
All right, we'll see you next episode.
Okay.
Thanks.
Bye.
To contact us, please email at extrafeatures@gmail.com and join us at our Facebook page.